Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I am your host, as always, Ben Thomas. You know, today we're talking a little bit about the world of audio. And ironically enough, I think our industry sort of gets lost in the sauce a little bit about the flashy new installations and the brightest and newest and coolest. And a lot of times we don't go back to the basics and understand the world of audio. And ironically, it's one of the things that you notice first when not only walking into an installation, but maybe walking into a place like a museum or a church or a place where you see all this technology is, hey, it's too loud. I can't hear. I don't understand what's happening. I'm guilty of that down here in Dallas at AT&T Stadium. It's a wonderful venue, but it's really hard to hear and it's hard to watch a concert there. And, you know, sometimes I wish that we had some great, maybe a little bit better assisted listening technology out there as well. But want to have a conversation really that focuses on that world today, maybe some of the technologies that continue to innovate that space and how people on a more practical human level are experiencing audio. So to have that conversation today, I brought on the CEO of Listen Technologies and Amplitronic, Miley Chione. Miley, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Well, Miley, I know that you get to have conversations like this pretty regularly, and you probably see, you know, whether it's on the integrator level, whether it's on the install level or the facilities management level, sometimes the world of audio just gets lost in the conversation, and it's unfair. It's unfair to our users. It's unfair to the people at the end of the line. And you know, to kick us off, I mean, why do you see that?
You know, it's a really good question, especially since it's not just unfair, it's unfortunate. And I'll just dive right into, you know, my personal passion. It's actually unhealthy. Like at the end of the day, it does affect our health in terms of our ability to hear. It doesn't matter if we have hearing loss. When you're in a room with bad audio and you can't process the audio as well as you should be able to, it fatigues you. And it makes you tired. And so everyone should be concerned in the workplace, in, you know, the event space, in museums, when we're trying to learn about history or art. Everyone should care about audio. And it is really funny that they don't. On a bit of a tangent about assistive listening versus assistive audio. And there is a difference. And, you know, Listen's known for their assistive listening for the hard of hearing, but we're getting more and more into the assistive audio space, where for those of us who don't have hearing loss, our technology makes a big difference.
You know, you talk about sort of that difference there, and I think it actually opens the door really for our conversation today because, you know, I want to ask a little bit, we'll get into maybe some of the weeds in a second, but you see technologies like Auracast really coming into the purview. It's been around for a while, but it really hasn't saturated the market like it could. You see technologies like that, and you see places like immersive audio environments, or even going to museums or churches and hearing things in different languages. And it's not, like you said, it's not this idea of a hearing aid. It actually is built to enhance that experience. You know, so I want to ask, right? I think that it's helpful to help set the table. You know, I mentioned sort of Auracast being one of the conversations as well. What are some of those innovations that are allowing audio really to become a little bit more distributed and accessible for folks? Maybe it's Bluetooth, the Auracast, like I mentioned, maybe it's Wi-Fi. I mean, what are some of those technologies?
Well, I think all of those, even, you know, technologies that we think of legacy, like IR or RF, or, you know, even our ListenTalk product. And I won't get into our product specifically, but even the ability for people in an environment like a tour group, right, to be able to hear every word, everything that's going on. And let's say you're giving a Gemba walk to some of your biggest clients. You know, you're walking through your manufacturing facility, and the one sentence that you say is the most important sentence that customer's going to hear, but they can't hear it because of the, you know, the manufacturing noise. And so I think that the innovation that is coming is ease of use, right? Of being able to use NFC pairing to pair, you know, a transmitter with a receiver, or to be able to install something so easily, to put a beacon on the wall and just have it work. You know, so that as someone walks into a room and that beacon connects with their audio device, whether it's a receiver or their phone, that they can just get the audio seamlessly. We use that word a lot in our company. We just want it to be seamless for people, for the integrators, the installers, the end users, even our purchasing process. We want our customers to have a really easy process. And I think that's what needs to trickle down.
I agree. And you sort of talked about the integrators and the idea of the channel. You know, audio specifically is a very personal kind of experience, right? Whether it's you know, volumes or languages or all sorts of different ways that you want to hear it. So it's very, very, there's a need for customization, right? And a lot of times when you start talking, I'm guilty of this too, it's not just specifically our industry, but, you know, when you start talking to integrators and people in the channel and even designers, it tends to get a little bit more product focused, and it tends to say, you tend to have conversations about features and capabilities and not solutions. And again, I'm not putting a blanket statement on the industry, but we do have a little bit of a challenge with that sometimes. How do you help, you know, especially as you develop some of these products and put them through the channel, how do you have that conversation about, hey, we need to focus on the human centricity versus maybe some of the technical capabilities of this thing?
You know, years ago, I met a woman, her name is Valerie Fletcher, and she's the executive director of a group called the Center for Human Design. And it was a conversation that really changed my life, because all they do is focus on how to make design more human-centric. I mean, that's a vast oversimplification of what they do. But we took some of those principles from that afternoon and dinner that I had with Valerie. I haven't seen her in years. If she saw this, she'd probably be like, wow, I had no idea. But, you know, we took some of those principles, and we've always been in touch with our customers. We've always been in touch with the integrators and the consultants and people that we work with in our business. And I think you can always take that to the next level, right? How you simplify a product, how you make it so easy for them to install, to order. And then, you know, the one thing that we talk about with AuraCast, this is going to be an educational time for us the next couple of years. People are going to have to learn how to connect. They're going to have to learn how to connect, you know, differently than they have in the past, that it's available in a venue. And so I think at the end of the day, to answer your question, I think education is just a huge piece of it, as well as learning, right? Those two pieces of the same problem. So we really try to learn and listen to our customers and then integrate that into our designs.
You know, I love hearing you talk about that as a manufacturer, right? Because there's sort of this idea in our community that, hey, we're really good engineers. We're good at making products. We're good at making things work and function. And then sometimes, like I mentioned, we can lose a little bit of the human side, but you start at the human side. And that informs the product design process, that informs the ease of use. You know, talk to me about, look, let's get technical and talk about Lisitech here. We can talk about some of the products and things like that, but how does that beginning of the product design process, starting with that human centricity, how does that actually better support the product development process, thus the channel, making it easier to educate, things like that?
That's a great question. And I'll give you a really kind of like our standard example that we use. So when we were designing our receivers, our product management team went out and they went to a theater, and they asked the folks at the theater what the biggest problem with our receivers were. And these people took them into the theater, they sat them down in a seat, and they took the receiver and they dropped it. And what happened was the battery door flew open. And as we all probably know, theaters go downhill. So what happened to the batteries? They rolled to the front to the front of the theater. And so again, that's where it starts, right? It starts with that, and it's exhausting. I mean, I love our customers. But this whole process, it takes a lot of energy, right? You have to send people to the field. You have to talk to hundreds of customers. And that changed the way that our battery doors close. Okay. So that's a great example of how that comes to that human-centered design, because those receivers, they get dropped all the time. And so I think that that's just a really good example of integrating it in. And then we have a customer feedback loop that our salespeople use, our technical support people use, I use. So I'll fill out a form and I'll say, yet another architect asked me if we could make a white IR transmitter, right? And we've probably got hundreds of requests for a white IR transmitter because they don't want a black transmitter up on their beautiful wall. So you know, that's just, it's just part of our DNA.
I want to talk about innovation for a second, right? It's easy to lean into innovation for innovation's sake, but you have done such a good job as a company and as an organization, really across the entire portfolio that you guys are part of, focusing on innovation that functions, right? You know, it, and this is my own personal opinion, but it's why technologies like Auracast have been a little bit slower to adopt, because they haven't been quite exactly right ready for the user experience standpoint to roll out. You've aimed to change that. Talk to me a little bit about it.
So it's going to take a little while. I mean, that whole ecosystem with hearing aids, with phones, I think it'll happen fast, but we're first in the market with a transmitter and receiver, mostly assistive listening based to start. Again, it's going to be an evolution into that space. I think about it the same way. You're way too young to remember this, my friend, but I remember the very first email I ever sent. Okay, on a Data General computer, from one computer in the room to the next computer, and you know, two seats over from where I sat. And I remember having to learn how to send email and having to learn how to use a smartphone, how to learn how to use an iPod or whatever those things were called that had music on them. And it's going to be the same process. Like, it is the exact same process in innovation, whether it's in audio, whether it's in, cars. I still don't know how to make half the function in my cars work, in my car work. I really don't. I'm sure it does some amazing things. But we're slightly ahead of the curve, I think, with Auracast still. It'll work great for assistive listening. It's going to take a little while for the applications, like a family in an airport wanting to listen to the same song and being able to do one-to-many, right? And for people to embrace that is going to take a little while. So we as an industry and we as a company feel a lot of responsibility to help accelerate that along the way, but we have to wait for other vendors to come in, right? So the TVs, being in your hotel room, and there's just so many applications that are going to spark up, but everyone's gonna have to learn how to use them.
Out of this right here, right? This is the easiest thing in the world. Yep. Where, hey, suddenly your fax machine, your email machine, your computer, your, you know, actual cell phone, your car phone, whatever, became one sort of device. It reminds me a lot of the potential of where these Auracast devices are going, is because, you know, we're seeing sort of this blur of what I would call the private and public listening experience, right? So there's sort of very private experience. If I've got my hearing aids in, I'm having a conversation with somebody that's very, very personal. It's private and personal, I think, maybe is a better way to say it. But then you start talking about these public applications, and you talk about being able to walk into a place like an airport, and then all the PA and emergency announcements can go directly to you, right? It's just a different conversation. And there are a lot of technologies that have to keep up with that. But how do you see those worlds continuing to merge, right? Obviously, technology is making these things possible, but how does that world continue to blend together?
So, men, my friend, you're just a youngster, but do you remember, or you should watch if you haven't seen, a movie called The Minority Report with Tom Cruise?
I was like 15 or 20 when that movie came out.
So if you remember, there was a scene in the movie where Tom Cruise is walking down a mall, and in his ear, and I can't remember if it was embedded in his head, but in his earpiece, it was telling him about a pair of pants that he tried on the week before that were on sale. Okay. I truly believe that that public audio space is going to transform to something similar to that. Maybe not in my lifetime. I hope so. I hope that, you know, my health span is long enough that I can see that, but I see personalized delivery of audio very close on the horizon, where you will go to the airport and maybe your device will know what flight you're on, and it's going to start delivering that flight information to you as soon as you walk through the door. It's coming. And is it exciting? Is it invasive? Is it, you know, over the top? There's so many opinions.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it is, we just live in such an interesting world, right? Because there's always the debate of, can we, just because we, or should we, because just because we can. But, you know, I go back to this. It's the same argument that we have about our cell phones, right? Yeah. And it's this idea that, hey, sometimes we do need to always be accessible. We need to always be on. And sometimes we are at a mall and we want to hear about deals and we want to hear about emergency alerts. And sometimes I'm at church and I want to be able to switch the language between the Spanish feed and the English feed. And it's, you know, it becomes a conversation about convenience and accessibility, in my opinion, more than sort of the invasiveness privacy side. Look, because as long as I can either take it out or unplug it or whatever. Now, if it's implanted, that's a whole different story. I don't know about that. But, you know, I don't know that that's a product line coming out anytime soon. But it's so curious because, and I love the conversation that we're having because it really sits in such a cool part of our industry because, in a very unique way, when you talk about senses, you talk about audio as something that's very personal to every single individual, right? And it's one of those things where it's very difficult to create sort of one size fits all for everybody. But you guys have done such a good job of making technology that's scalable, available, can be used for things like translations, can be used for things like hearing aids, and I wouldn't say hearing aids, hearing assistants, and sort of the accessibility side of things too. You know, kind of the last question that I have for you is, as our industry continues to evolve and really support, in your case, instances like healthcare, also hearing accessibility, even immersion, right, being part of that, how do we continue to have conversations with those industries who maybe don't know or don't care about technology? How do we have conversations with those folks and better, no pun intended, listen to those people about how we can continue to evolve our technology and serve them as a user?
You know, I said years ago that your generation was going to demand a better experience. Like my mom's generation, not so much my generation, but my mom's generation, embarrassed to wear hearing aids, don't want to ask for help. The up and coming generation right underneath mine, they're just not going to put up with it. So accessibility, safety, and experience are three things that are just, there's so much passion around, right? And I'm not talking about DEI. I'm not talking about, you know, equality. I'm talking about experience where you go into a place and you want the best hearing experience you can have. You want the best accessibility that you can for people. And this goes to people in wheelchairs, people with, you know, other disabilities. We're part of a larger group, the Alveda group, that has companies in it that have amazing technology that would have helped in these fires, would have helped in, you know, the big fire that was in the UK years ago. And it's the passion that we have for that, for people to have a tremendous experience in their life that I think is the difference, really. And I think that, again, I think your generation is going to push that to the, you know, to the nth degree and just demand it. And I love it. I think you should.
Have time to mess around. You know, that's the reality of it. And I love to see it. I've obviously been in the industry for a while and you see these sort of incremental changes. And the thing that I love most about where our industry is headed, aside from vertical and industry specific applications, is focusing on user experience.
Yes.
Because, yes, you know, you can, that opens up doors about ADA compliance, that opens up immersive, that opens up conversations about, you know, colorblind sensitivities. It's a whole lot of conversations to be had, but we care. It matters. It's important to us as an industry because we have historically been very guilty about being a product first industry. I think we've really started to make that pivot and companies like Listen Tech and Amptronic and obviously the entire group are people who have driven that forward. And look, you've got my appreciation for it, right? Because folks like you guys continue to pave the way and have conversations and be in rooms that we're not always in, right? Because it allows us to be represented in a really unique and new way. And from my end, I could tell you that my generation appreciates the work that you guys have done to continue to lay that foundation and allow us to be picky and annoying about how much we like things.
Well, and I'll just end with one other point, which is that CES this year, for the first time ever, had an accessibility track, like an entire track about how to make the world more accessible for people. And again, I don't just think about people that have hearing loss or have physical disabilities. I think accessibility for me means the greatest experience possible. So I think that trend, we're gaining momentum. And you ask, well, what can we do or what's happening? I think we just get on the momentum and keep pushing the pushing the rock up the hill.
Tell you what, Miley, though, it's been great to have you on. We've got to find a way to continue to have you on, because really the world of audio, for the lack of news that it makes, honestly, there's a lot more innovation than we want to give it credit for. And like you mentioned, there are really only a handful of companies doing the work that you guys are doing right now. And it's important to continue that conversation. So consider this an open invite. We'd love to have you back on. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Ben. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. And thank you to all for tuning in as well. Be sure to like and subscribe. Check us out next time on Pro AV Today.